Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Warriors HQ podcast. I'm Dieter Kurtenbach, and I will soon be joined by my co-host and my co-worker, Wes Goldberg of the Bay Area News Group. But before we get to a conversation that Wes and I had regarding the Warriors and the number two overall pick, yep, some things have changed since we last talked. I laugh so that I don't cry. Before we do that, I just want to thank everybody who has remained subscribed, either on purpose or accidentally, to this podcast feed. First off, why? We haven't talked in over a year. Second, thank you so very much. Before Mark Medina stabbed us all in the back and left to go work for USA Today, like the coward that he is, we had a pretty good thing going. Not going to lie to you. A lot of more loyal fans than we deserve, that's for damn sure. And I'm not going to lie, I just let that slide. Just one fewer thing for me to have to worry about. I was heartbroken. I'd lost my podcast partner, and man, I was just deep on the struggle bus. Now, of course, we have upgraded from Mark Medina. We have added Wes Goldberg to the Bay Area News Group team, and you know, it became easy to love again. It became easy to create content again, and we did some great videos throughout the season. Not that the Warriors gave us very many positive things to talk about, and yeah, we had a great time. I've so very much enjoyed the Warriors coverage that we've been able to put out over the past year. But, you know, something was missing. Something was missing. It was the podcast. It was the Warriors HQ pod. The juggernaut that it was and is. So we're bringing it back. We're bringing it back because Wes and I are talking about these NBA draft prospects. We're talking about the number two overall pick. We're talking about the bubble. And I just go, why don't we record this? What are we doing here? Let's give the people what they want, which is authentic, independent basketball content. Unfiltered, if we're being totally honest. And maybe a little scandalous at times. I've been known to go over the line once or twice. I don't hold my tongue, and Wes, bless him, he does not mince words. He'll tell you what he thinks. And the interesting part about all of this is, much like with Medina and myself, we don't really see the game in the same way. Wes has an encyclopedic knowledge, easy for me to say, of the game of basketball. I so very much enjoy the narratives around the game. he's smarter than me. But we come at it from different perspectives, but a respect. Don't get me wrong. There's a real respect there. And I think it leads to some of the more interesting conversations I have throughout the week, and I have conversations for a living. And honestly, we're in a time now where we can tear it all down and start anew. Get a good thing going, restart a good thing if it stopped going. And I figured, man, now's the time. Now's the moment. I felt inspiration talking to Wes earlier today, and I just figured, man, let's take that audio and let's give it to the people, the good people, the ones who have stuck with us, and the new folks, but especially the ones that stuck with us through an over a year hiatus. Because again, you're the real ride or dies. You're the OGs of this pod, and we're forever grateful for your support, even though it does not benefit us financially in any way. Oh, boy. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm concerned about this number two overall draft pick for the Warriors, and I needed to talk to Wes about it because I'm thinking that this thing is a curse. I'm thinking that the basketball gods have smote the Golden State Warriors. If it was number one, I'd feel differently. But number two, that is Sam Bowie written all over it. I don't know how Darko Milicic. I don't like the number two overall pick. Yeah, I don't feel there's a Kevin Durant in this draft. No, sir. So I talked to Wes about it. You get to listen to it, and I hope you enjoy it. And we'll come on here after this conversation is over and wrap up the show, because I have a request for everybody out there who has hung around for whatever reason. I got a request, and maybe we're throwing something your way. Without further ado, Wes Goldberg and myself talking dubs on the Warriors HQ podcast. Welcome back.
What's up, everybody? Dieter Kurtenbach here, joined by Wes Goldberg, the great Golden State Warriors beat writer for the Mercury News. And we're talking about the NBA draft and what the heck the Warriors should do now that they have the number two overall pick. A lot of options available to this team. And as we're learning from watching these teams in the bubble down in Orlando, Warriors don't have that far to go to get back into contention. There has not been great basketball. There is not a team that you say that is the favorite, the same way that you said it about the Golden State Warriors year after year after year during the dynasty. Warriors might have had the worst record in basketball this season at 15-50. It's hard to say out loud, but again, it doesn't seem like they're that far away from being back in the mix. And a big part of that is going to be what they do with the number two overall pick. Do they keep it? Do they use it? Do they package it? Who knows? And Wes, first and foremost, I think we have a fundamental disagreement on what the Warriors should do here. What's your stance?
I think they should use this pick and keep it. I actually feel like a lot of Warriors fans, a lot of people that are looking at this draft are kind of undervaluing the opportunity that the Warriors have here. Yes, it's a weak draft. No, there's no Luka. There's no Zion. And I get it. But this opportunity to draft a player, not only in the top five, but in the top three, the top two, in this sort of situation – is so rare, and you can't just assume that this Minnesota pick coming over from next year, it's top three protected. It will not, cannot be as good as this pick. Now you can argue that the draft class is better and that the, you know, fourth or fifth pick next year is better than the second pick this year, but who knows what's going to end up happening next season. So you use this opportunity now, draft who you think the best player available is, and hopefully that player can contribute right away and then eventually blossom into a face of the franchise. Because if you trade out of this pick, hypothetically, if you trade out of this pick and Minnesota for some reason hits on number one, D'Angelo Russell and Karl Anthony Towns blossom and Ryan Saunders' team takes off and you end up at number 12 next year, you have all but lost any opportunity to find the next face of the franchise. So you need to take the guarantee now.
Well, let me ask you this very specifically, because we've been having this conversation in the abstract for a very long period of time. We haven't had basketball in a while. We had to have something to talk about. Now that we know it's the number two overall pick, and we know that Minnesota would be foolhardy not to take Anthony Edwards number one, given what they already have and what they need on that team. And Edwards is the best wing in this draft. I think he's the best player in this draft. The Minnesota Timberwolves have been fools before, but I think that that's where they end up going. Looking at every other prospect available, who stands out to you? Who should be that number two overall pick? Because if this is a great opportunity, you can put a name on it right here and now, and you can tell me who the Warriors should take instead of every other option. And I think I'm still going to disagree with you, but I'd like to at least hear your perspective on who that guy should be.
Well, the Warriors draft board is going to look different than a lot of other draft boards. And one thing I know is that they're prepared to use this pick at number two. It's not to say that they're not going to try to trade down or trade out, but they are prepared and they have prospects in mind in this situation. I disagree. I'm not sure that the Timberwolves are going to take Anthony Edwards for sure at number one. I think that you can make an argument that they take LaMelo. And if they do take LaMelo Ball at number one, just to add another level of playmaking, because right now D'Angelo Russell is their only playmaker. And we know how that goes.
Yeah, which, by the way, if they take LaMelo Ball, I feel a lot better about that draft pick next year.
Right.
I feel a lot better about it.
That's true. LaMelo Ball, I don't think is very high for the Warriors. Neither is James Wiseman. And I try to say their draft board's going to look very different. So let's say Anthony Edwards is off the board at number one, because if he's on there at number two, they take him. Done deal.
Yeah, I think that that's right. I feel a lot more comfortable with my stance that the Warriors should move on from this pick if Edwards is there at number two. That is not the ideal circumstance, but ultimately the ideal circumstance might not actually come up. And therefore, if Edwards is sitting there, that feels good, because he is the guy, as you described, who could end up blossoming into the next face of this franchise. Perhaps, I don't know, but he should be a pretty darn good player. I think he's the best player in the draft again. And he can probably give you something this year. Not a lot, but something. And not as much as an NBA, an established NBA player can give you, but again, something. The rest of the guys, I don't know. So if Edwards is there, I feel better.
Finding someone who can give you something right away and contribute in meaningful minutes, maybe even playoff minutes, and then eventually 2, 3, 4 years down the road, blossom into something more than that. When it's Steph and Clay and Draymond, it's the Kawhi Leonard blueprint, right? Exactly. This is not the 1990. Everybody wanted to call this 97 Spurs because Steph got hurt just like David Robinson did.
Is Tim Duncan available? If there's a Tim Duncan available, go ahead.
I don't think he's under contract right now, technically, but, this is more akin to the Kawhi situation, where you had an established trio with a championship winning head coach and a championship winning organization. Just bring this guy in and let him contribute. And that was Kawhi. I think it's also similar because the Warriors should be looking and will be looking for a wing here. They, more than any other team, understand how important the wing position is, which is when I say that they're they're probably going to look away from a James Wiseman or even a LaMelo Ball is because LaMelo can only play the one because he can only have the ball in his hands. And James Wiseman can only play the five. We think he's only played 69 college minutes. We don't know what position he really could play or if he could play at the NBA level. So with that in mind, I want to point you to a guy named Denny Avia, the Maccabee Tel Aviv really productive small forward out there. He was their most valuable player in that league. And I look around, I'm like, okay, yeah, we've got this consensus top three with Anthony Edwards, James Wiseman, and LaMelo Ball. The three of them are all flawed players, but they all have a ton of upside. I don't know why Denny Avia is not in that group. He's been more productive than all of them, maybe with the exception of Anthony Edwards with what he was able to do at Georgia, but he's definitely more decorated than Anthony Edwards is. Right. The awards that he was winning. He is a great finisher at the rim. The numbers are there. He's a high-level playmaker the way that LaMelo Ball is.
Yeah,
he's 6'9", 220. He's built already, unlike LaMelo, he's built like James Wiseman at his position. He's built like Anthony Edwards is for his position. And so, yeah, the shooting is an issue, no doubt. There's some questions about what he could do defensively, but all of these players are admittedly flawed. So why isn't Denny in that top group with those guys?
Well, that says a lot to me if you're putting him in that top group. And I don't disagree with you, but it says a lot to me if you put him in that top group because he's a guy who could probably be had at 6 or 7. The fact is that this is a very convoluted draft. It might be a deep draft, but it doesn't have a very high ceiling. And if the Warriors are at number 2, that's almost a curse for them because now they don't get the number one player on their board. Perhaps, maybe they do. But beyond that, they have a bunch of different ways to mess this thing up. And you know that somebody in the 9, 13, 22 range is going to hit. No one knows who the hell it is. And it could be the guy who goes number 2. It could be the guy who goes 22. And that's always the case. But usually there's a bit more clarity as to whom the team should take at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Now, free for all. So this brings me to my point, which stands above it all. Get off of this pick. Get off of this pick no matter what. You can't win with this pick unless the Timberwolves do something stupid. And you probably already got all the Timberwolves' stupid luck out of your system by then giving you another pick for D'Angelo Russell. Like, you can only bet on the Timberwolves to mess up so many times. I am of the stance of Denny would be a really solid option for them if they draft him at 4 or 7 or 9. No problem with that. But you can use this asset at number 2 to get you just even a nice rotation player. You don't have to go out and get a superstar guy. You don't even have to go out and get a starter. But if you can trade down and bring in another solid piece who can give you just 10 minutes a night as a professional, you know what you're getting with them, a second unit kind of guy, do it. The Warriors have more than one hole. And while I agree with your assessment, and I think it's well-rooted, hey, they have a chance to go ahead and bring in the next generation. They owe it to Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green to go for it right now because the window is still open. We can argue about if they're ever going to be dynastic again. I think the answer is honestly clearly no, though they will certainly argue the opposite. The question is, how do you maximize the team in 2021? Because they still do absolutely have a chance to win a title going into next year. And I just don't think that anybody they can draft is going to impact them the same way that using that pick and the $17 million Andre Iguodala trade exemption or just that pick or putting together a massive package and trying to get somebody. But using that pick as a tool, you can go out and get a player who can absolutely unquestionably help you for 2021. Whereas everybody else, listen, it's the lottery. This is a crapshoot. And maybe it pans out in a big way, but the Warriors are not in a position to where they need someone to pan out in a big way. They're in a position to where they need excellence now. They need another Eric Paschal. And Eric Paschal was found with their 3rd pick last year. He was found in the 2nd round. They need a guy who can do that as a rookie, as opposed to a guy who can take over the franchise. Yes, the franchise might be in dire straits when this is all said and done, but when it's all said and done, they might have 4 or 5 or 6 championships, and I'm sure they'll be able to get over whatever bad stuff happened in the aftermath because they'll be basking in the glow of their greatness and being light years ahead. If you can go and use that $17 million trade exemption to get a guy like Marcus Smart, and you only have to trade down,
let's just say 10 spots, you do it. You do it all day, every day, because the difference between Denny Ayaya at number two and whomever you're going to get at number 12 or 15 is so minimal compared to what it usually is in other years. I just think the Warriors would be foolhardy not to take it. Now, I have to throw in this caveat. I don't know if anyone wants the number two overall pick. I don't know if anyone out there is thinking like, oh man, we got to go up and get LaMelo Ball. More power to whoever is all in on James Wiseman or LaMelo Ball or whatever. But I talk about this as if it's set in stone and it's going to get done. It's a bad draft. Everyone knows it's a bad draft, and that might be the marketplace.
And okay, let's say Cleveland is enamored with LaMelo or James Wiseman. They've done stuff. What are they going to do? They're going to move up from five. They're going to package, what, the fifth pick and a future first rounder? Probably not.
Sure.
No, probably not. But I did this exercise in my mailbag and earlier this week, and I wrote, the deal would probably be like number five and Chetty Osman.
He's a player. He could.
He's a guy, right? Like, that's a thing.
Is he going to win you a championship? No, but he can give you 10 solid minutes in the playoffs.
So if you're the Warriors, you do your risk reward. We really like Denny, for example. Let's just say hypothetically. We're the Warriors. We really like Denny.
Yeah.
Do we think he's going to be there at five? Well, the Hawks are picking there at number four. Or I'm sorry, Chicago's picking there at number four. The Hawks are there at number six.
Hey, you want Lauri Markkanen? The Bulls might be willing to give him up. I mean, if they're going to pick Denny, then why would they still have Lauri Markkanen on their team? I understand there's a height difference.
You want as many European wings as possible. That's why.
apparently.
Have you seen the last name of the new president of operations there?
That's a valid point.
Yes. I do think that, you know, there is something to be said for just, okay, this is the guy we like. Let's just go ahead and take him. If the best we can get out of this is Chetty Osman, and then we're sweating bullets for the next three picks, making sure our guy is there, assuming that they have a guy. And my feeling is that they have two or three guys that they really like in this draft. And so I wonder if you're just better off just using the pick, because you look at it, let's go back in time and look at other draft picks that looked like reaches. I mean, recently, Bam Adebayo at 13, most people didn't even know who he was, let alone how to say his name.
Right, he was like the fifth best player on Kentucky.
Right, and he ends up being one of the best players in that draft. Giannis was a reach. Yep. Let's not all sit here and act like Giannis was a 100% top five pick. Like, 100%. It's worth just knowing who you want and going and getting him. And to your other point, too,
at the detriment of value, like, that's the thing. We're talking about guys at 13. We're talking about, you know, Kawhi Leonard at 15, who was, by the way, drafted by the Pacers and then traded. I mean, we can always go back in history and look back at dudes who were drafted later and, oh, they panned out, and look at all these stupid teams that passed over them. Hell, do that with Stephen Curry, who got drafted seventh. Right. I mean, the Warriors have done great drafting right after Minnesota. But my point is, taking that guy at that spot, yes, you can make the argument of you get your guy, it doesn't matter. And if it pans out, it works. But there has to be some value argument there. And yes, you're going to be sweating bullets a little bit if you move down to five, let's say. But man, you're also going to get an NBA player who you know is going to help you, as opposed to one who the hell knows. And you're looking to get both, because you need to have both. You need to get four or five quality NBA players in this offseason. You don't have enough juice otherwise to compete for a championship. Mm-hmm. And so that's one that you already have in the bag. And he might be the worst one you get, but that's one you have in the bag. Maybe the draft pick pans out, maybe not. Maybe he has to spend the entire season in Santa Cruz because he just cannot adapt. No one knows with these guys, especially in this draft. There's no Zion Williamson. Hell, we're not even dealing with who in the top 10 last year wouldn't have gone number one in this year's draft.
I ask, would you trade right now number two for Tyler Hero? Like, that's a real question.
Unquestionably. Yeah. So without a doubt. And they don't even need a Tyler Hero, right? Yeah. Like, but you just do it. You know why? Because Tyler Hero is a known commodity if he never gets any better than he is right now. Dude will knock down threes.
I will say this. I think that the Warriors will be very open to trading this pick down, but it won't be out of the top half of the lottery. So when we talk about maybe moving down to like 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, I just don't see it. They want to stay in that upper crust of the lottery. They want to go get a guy. And I think they have a few guys earmarked. Let's go ahead.
Let me ask you this, though. Is that a sunk cost fallacy for them, having spent 6 months, looking at all these guys?
These pipe dreams of a Marcus Smart coming over is just not going to happen. I don't know why on earth the Celtics would say, what would help us win a championship? Trading our best wing defender to a team that we could see in the NBA Finals.
No, you're valid. You're valid on that. I give you that. But there, as I wrote this morning, there's going to be a lot of chaos. And we've already seen a lot of it come down with Philadelphia. And I don't think Joel Embiid or Ben Simmons are coming to the Warriors. But the fact of the matter is, 82 games don't matter. The playoffs do. And what goes down in the playoffs ultimately defines what happens in the NBA for the next year. And it used to be years to come, but now it just seems like everything changes every offseason anyway. And if, you know, playoff P doesn't show up for the Clippers, dude has 1 year left on his contract, and the Clippers might decide we can't win a championship with Paul George as our second best player and go for something. And the Warriors can be sitting there. Who knows with Giannis? I highly doubt that he ever asked to leave Milwaukee. I don't think that that's the kind of guy he is. And we can get into reasons as to why that's the case a different time. But if he does, listen, there are a lot of teams that can make a move for him. Are any of them going to have the number two overall pick this year, albeit in a bad draft, a future Minnesota pick, which, by the way, trade it now before it gets any worse. Buy it. Make sure everybody buys in to this Minnesota pick as we currently know it, because who the hell knows what it's going to be. And as you mentioned off the bat here, it could be bad or not as good as maybe you thought. Make that somebody else's problem to worry about. Use that as an asset. You can use, you know, the Draymond Green contract, if anyone would want to take it. You can use the Andrew Wiggins contract. You have a $17 million trade exemption. You can do things now where things are nebulous and having to be defined to go out and basically do anything you want, so long as there's two parties willing to tango, or maybe even three or four. I mean, we can get real complicated with this thing. You're right. I think it ultimately comes down to something that's a little bit less exciting. Maybe not light years ahead, but, you know, a decade or so. Just basic, you know, basic competent NBA players going out and getting a guy like a Robert Covington from the Houston Rockets because they're in luxury tax hell. But there's going to be a lot of stuff that happens between now and October. And so maybe having this conversation about what is and isn't going to happen, while I agree with you on the Marcus Smart thing, because they're a good team and they might end up playing for the title this year anyway, and he's their Draymond Green, you probably don't give that up. But – like, there's going to be a lot of stuff that happens in the next week, in the next month, in the next couple of months that changes everything. And the Warriors are in a position with this number two pick and the assets that they have available to them, while not exceptional, to make some moves. And so and moves that can benefit them in a big way right here and now, which ultimately I think their focus should be.
They have one priority with this pick, and that is to acquire an all-star level player who is relatively young. A young all-star player. So whether or not you do that via draft or via trade, they will do it. My argument is that Marcus Smart isn't an all-star level player. Fair enough. Like, my argument is that Covington is not an all-star level player. Like, let's just use whatever player, you know, we see on Twitter pop up all the time. They're very rarely all-star level players. But if Paul George or Giannis or Joel Embiid or Ben Simmons comes available, they're going to say, the hell with Danny Avia. Let's go and get that guy.
Right.
And there's no doubt about that.
But they have to throw some other stuff in there. I mean, it's not like
No doubt. Yeah, I mean, and that's why the Warriors, for coming off of five straight championship runs, are surprisingly flexible right now. They have this pick. They have the Minnesota pick. They have their own pick next year. They have their own future picks when we start talking about two every other year.
They're all gone, by the way. Just throw them in there.
They've had the Andrew Wiggins contract, which you could hope another team doesn't see as a negative asset. They've got the $17.2 million trade exception, which could turn into another asset, which they can turn into a part of that sort of package.
It's a thing.
They have a lot of things. So whether or not it's the most boring version of this, where they just take some guy at number two who they just, you know, you hold your nose and hope for the best. You use the trade exception on a high-level role player, use the mid-level exception on another role player, and then you sign seven-foot plotting center on the minimum, then maybe that's just what it is. On the other side of that, we don't need this to happen before draft night. Like, you don't need the Giannis, you know, plug-in superstar trade here to happen draft night. You could take a guy with a ton of upside at number two and then move him a year from now. We've seen that happen over and over again. Now,
it'd be nice to make best case scenario
to get it done. But if, you know, if that trade isn't out there yet, you can't force it.
It's one thing when you're trading away, you know, what was it, the number 28 overall pick or whatever from last year's draft. It's another thing when it is Jordan Poole. The agency of being able to sell the pick, and you can do whatever you want with this pick, is a lot different than, here's this player, for better or for worse. And 9 times out of 10, it's worse, because We always build, it's the mystery box game, right? It's always better to take what's in the mystery box even when there's something there. I don't think the Warriors are in a position to be able to do it. Everything you're saying makes total sense. And the pie in the sky concepts that are out there, you're right. We're in agreement. It's not likely to happen. What's also not likely to happen is the Warriors taking somebody at number two who is both going to provide an immediate impact and have future all-star potential. If that guy was there, we wouldn't really be having that conversation. We're having to talk ourselves into it, and we've had a lot of time to talk ourselves into it. So the best route for me, and maybe splitting the difference here, is what I think we've kind of come to an agreement on passively. Trade down, stay in the lottery, get a good player, or even two not so awesome players, but you know, the seventh or eighth guys on your team. Get a Robert Covington, if you will. And though you'll have to use the trade exemption for that, but go out and get, you know, a nice solid rotational player, move down, go get Okongwu out of USC, go get Danny Avaya out of Israel, go get somebody that the Warriors think this guy has the upside. And ultimately, the floors are so low for everybody in this draft. I mean, there's just no immediate impact player. You find somebody with either the highest upside or the highest floor, and you roll with that punch. And you are now a little bit better than you would have been had you just taken, I don't know. I don't even know who they would take at number two, because as you mentioned off the top, LaMelo and James Wiseman make no sense for them in either way. You're not paying either of those players effectively $20 million in their first season to play what, center? The Warriors don't value center. Or for LaMelo Ball to do what? Be a worse version of D'Angelo Russell? We saw how that went. So
to play 10 minutes off the bench when Steph Curry is not in the game doesn't help them.
Yeah,
I think there's a few guys with a high floor that they could take. We're talking about guys like Devin Vassell out of Florida State. Yes. Just plug him in. Sadiq Bey out of Villanova. They could just make threes and they can defend, and they'll make the defense better right away. Tyrese Halliburton out of Iowa State. Like, these are just the guys. But I think he's the guy for us, and I think he's the guy that the Warriors are looking at. Those kind of guys make a lot of sense. But like Tyrese Halliburton, you know he can pass the ball. You know he can dribble in a straight line in other directions too, which is great. He can guard two or three different positions. You bring him in, and he could just play your backup point guard role. And in best case scenario, maybe he's able to play alongside Steph and Clay. Devin Vassell can be the Kawhi version of this team, where you plug him in at small forward for a few minutes a game. He's a tremendous team defender. He can hit shots from the perimeter. And one day, maybe he develops into a ball handler. He develops ball skills the way Kawhi was able to. And he turns into a player for you or not. If not, maybe he's just Robert Covington, and that's not that bad of a piece to
have. Fine. We were asking to get Robert Covington. He's going to be cheaper. He's going to be younger. He's going to be able to knock down.
You were asking about Robert Covington.
Robert Covington. I think Robert Covington's a good player.
He's a good player. He's not a fit for the Warriors.
Let me ask you this. Vassell and Halliburton stand out to me as the two best options. I'm not fully in on Bay, though. I do agree that he's a good player and probably should be.
I'm with you on that. He's just a name I hear all the time.
They're looking for a 3-and-D wing. The last 9 NBA Finals MVPs have been wings. I mean, this is, as we have seen firsthand, as we are currently seeing, the game has not changed. Who is going to be the guy who is going to stop the other team's best scorer, and who's going to be the guy who can just rise and get you a 17-foot bucket because that's the only spot that's available on the floor on the offensive end in the final 3 or 4 minutes of a close playoff game? It's all about wings. And if you're not doing that, if you're not that dude, if you're not Kawhi, if you're not Kevin Durant, if you're not LeBron, then you better be playing wicked defense and knocking down corner three-pointers. The Warriors don't have a dude like that right now, and it almost seems wasteful to have Andrew Wiggins, who's so damn athletic, do that. And by the way, he doesn't do that as currently speaking, but you need more than one. And Andrew Wiggins probably isn't going to end up being the Andre Iguodala of this team. Can you take Halliburton or Vassell at number two and still be able to sleep at night?
Can I? Yeah, I don't
care. I know you can. I know you can because you don't care. No. But where those guys, do either of those guys fall out of the top five?
I think both of them could fall out of the top five. I mean, I don't think
either
of them.
How low can the Warriors go then?
No further than 6 or 7. If you want Vassell, I don't see him getting past 6 from the Hawks. And if you want Halliburton, he's one of the best point guards in the draft. And when you get to that 7, 8, 9 range, we're talking about the Knicks, and we're talking about the Wizards, and we're talking teams that need point guards. So and the Pistons. Yep. So he's not getting past that trio. So I think you could probably move down to 5 or 6 and comfortably get one of those guys. And that kind of leads us back to what we were saying. I think you can easily go from number two. The Warriors appreciate that they're at number two because now they're a little bit in the driver's seat. Like whatever Minnesota does at number one isn't really going to bother them. They have contingency plans.
One would hope that they would have a second option available.
You would hope. And so
and that they'll find out who the Timberwolves are going to take at number one, like, you know, before it starts.
Right. But you can move down very comfortably to 4 or 5 and still get the guy you want. No problem. Yeah. And in the process, maybe pick up Chetty Osman.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, hell, you can even pick up John Collins from Atlanta, moved, let Atlanta come to number two. And there might be some rumors that Atlanta is looking to move up to number two, whether to get Ball, which I don't understand that in the least bit, but it's floating, or their pipe dream is Anthony Edwards, Georgia kid, keep him all the way through, sell some tickets. Remember those. And then add a positive wing to a young team, alongside Kevin Herter and whomever else plays for the Atlanta Hawks. It's hard to keep track anymore. I guess they have Clint Capella now, which, by the way, if all these Warriors fans out there saying that they should go get James Wiseman because he's a center, one, you forget who the center is in the closing lineup, which is the only lineup that matters, who is Draymond Green. And two, if you want to pay $20 million for a center, just go ahead and get Clint Capella. I mean, anyone could have had him. He's making something. Yeah, exactly. Go ahead. We know what those guys are.
Or if you want to get James Wiseman and not pay him $20 million a year, sign Hassan Whiteside this summer for the minimum. Same thing.
Right. 100%. Now, that will probably not be great in the locker room, but, you know, here we are.
To me, James Wiseman is closer to Hassan Whiteside than some of these very – like, he compares his own game to Chris Bosh. I'm like, you haven't made a three-pointer. Like, call me when you do.
He's not.
It's insane. He's never going to be Chris
Bosh. Chris Bosh is a Hall of Famer.
I'm seeing comparisons to Kevin Garnett and Chris Bosh. I'm like, all right, if you're just hoping that this guy is going to be a transformational center, not just a Hall of Famer, but transformational for the game center, you've got high hopes. And it would shock me if that were his ceiling, that he wouldn't be the consensus number one overall pick. So
you and I can both tell people right now, the Warriors are not taking James Wiseman. They're just not doing it. No. If they take him, it would be very late.
And it's going to ruin
13th or 14th.
It's going to ruin every single mock draft that is out there right now by some national dude who has Wiseman slotted in at number two because it's easy.
This team played Zaza Pachulia at the starting center role. Like, they don't care about centers. Steve
not
Kerr
just
would have. Yeah.
Well, a last note on Wiseman. I don't want to spend this whole time ragging on him because now I've somehow built up this reputation as anti James Wiseman, and I'm not. He seems really nice. I like the interviews with him. He seems to work hard off the court and stuff. Like, yeah. I give him props for saying, you know what, yeah, bleep you to the NCAA. I don't want to play for you if you're going to be a hypocrite. Like, I've got nothing but respect for Wiseman. I'm saying is he's not right for the Warriors, and they're not going to take him. That's it. Correct. It's not a personal attack. And one of the other reasons
I hope he thrives elsewhere.
And that's going to be the thing is when he's great somewhere else, everybody's going to come back and say, like, it wouldn't have happened in Golden State anyway.
Ever.
One of the things that not just him playing center, a position of not need for these Warriors team, he didn't play last year in Memphis. And I understand the reasons why. But if you're a Warriors team and your title window is right now, James Wiseman is the same age as all these guys, but he's a year less in development. And so he's not ready to contribute as immediately as some of these other guys who are not ready to contribute immediately.
And you're drafting a high schooler.
You're drafting a high schooler. It's going to take him 3 or 4 years to be any good.
Well, that's the nature of the center position. I mean, we've seen it with DeAndre Ayton, who is an outstanding player and an outstanding prospect. Now, we can argue that maybe he wasn't the best number one overall pick, but he's actually fulfilling the promise.
If Ayton was in this draft, you take him at number two and you just say, you know what, he's the best player there. Just take him.
Oh, he'd be gone at number one. They would figure something out. Though. No, we're not talking about that. And that's wildly evident. $17 million trade exemption. How do you think it is used by the Golden State Warriors?
They're not going to stack that thing up and get Giannis. They're not going to stack that thing up and get Ben Simmons or Embiid, probably, right?
Yeah, I don't want to hear anything else you have to say. That's just it's cruel and unusual. Sorry.
But they are going to get a useful player out of it. I think that they will probably end up getting a player who's under contract for 2 or 3 years. And it could be a player who the fit doesn't look exactly right away, but has value. We've seen the Warriors move assets and reallocate it into sort of a different asset. We've seen them do that. Yeah. We've seen them do that with the D'Angelo Russell. Wiggins, they ended up moving him by the trade deadline. So if I could see them just going in that direction, just hope something works out, and then maybe by the trade deadline they flip that player, or next offseason they flip that player. But it'll be a useful rotation player that's not going to excite anybody dramatically. And I will say this, it's probably not going to be Aaron Gordon. It's probably not going to be Miles Turner. And it's not going to be these other like lesser level, not Giannis, not B level players, because I just don't see why the Magic would trade Aaron Gordon to the Warriors for a draft pick. They want to stay in the playoffs. They don't want to take a step back. Ditto for Indiana. So I kind of just, I start wiping. If you just swat away those options, you're sort of left with maybe Josh Richardson, maybe Rudy Gay. Like these aren't, these are useful players that can help.
Very solid players. Very solid players.
That's about it.
Yeah. 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 Where do the Warriors ultimately select? I don't need you to tell me who they're going to select. What pick do they ultimately select with? Though you give away the game by answering the question.
I'm going to hold my nose and say number two.
Oh. Wes.
I just don't know that the trade is out there that materializes. I don't know that there's a team ready to move up the way that they're going to need to move up. I think if they do move down, it'll be probably like to number five where Cleveland is picking. I could see the Cavs being the team that chose to move up.
There's just a lot of noise around people really liking LaMelo Ball, and I don't personally get it, but there's too many people who tell me, so we're already playing the game of telephone, but too many people who tell me that X and so team think that LaMelo Ball is the future of their franchise.
Well, that's the thing.
And it's like
the Pistons,
have at it.
The Pistons and the Knicks probably believe that, right? Let's just assume that they do. Let's just say they do. Mm-hmm. What can they possibly offer the Warriors to move up to number two? Like, what do you like? You're not going to take Bobby Portis from the Knicks. Like, you don't want that. You don't want Julius Randle's contract. Like, you're going to throw in Wayne Ellington. That's not enough to convince Golden State to move down from two to eight.
Yeah.
And for the Pistons, it's like, all right, cool. Give us Tony Snell. Like, that's not enough to move from two to seven. It's just not enough. And that's when I kind of, when you really start to break down what the options might be, it's like, there's just not that much. And you might just end up saying, you know what, screw it. This is too much of a headache. Let's just take the guy we like at number two.
Damn. It's completely rooted in logic, but I thought I was the pessimist, the guy who bummed people out. I'm bummed out, man. You're bumming me out, man.
That's luckily my job.
Well, no, listen, I appreciate the perspective. I appreciate the cold, hard facts. We should be able to handle those at this juncture. We only went through a 15-win season. At this point, you'd think we'd have some calluses. I'm of the mindset that so much is going to change over the next 2 to 3 months that this conversation was almost worthless, despite the fact that I learned so very much. Yeah. And I feel like we kind of came to a nice point of understanding. And I feel like we're in a better spot now. And we're going to look back on this in a couple of months and just think like, oh boy, what an innocent time before that and that and that happened. And I hope that all of those things make our basketball viewing experience for the next few weeks and months better. I can't tell you that anything's going to get better in the future. I think we've learned that lesson this year. But let's not wait a couple of months to have another conversation like this, Wes Goldberg.
There it is. The one and only Wes Goldberg bumming me out here on the Warriors HQ podcast. As I said before we entered the conversation there, and appreciate y'all sticking with us through what can only be described as fidelity issues. It's Zoom. It's 2020. This is how things are done. If you were a subscriber to the Warriors HQ podcast, if this just popped back up on your feed, whether you did it by accident or on purpose, hit me up. Let me know. At Dieter on Twitter, D-I-E-T-E-R. Or shoot me an email, dkurtenbach, D-K-U-R-T-E-N-B-A-C-H, at BayAreaNewsGroup.com. I just want to know. I just want to know why, how. Actually, don't even answer how. Whether you did it on purpose or by accident, we're just happy you're back. We're happy to be back. We love talking dubs. And listen, we want to talk about what you guys want to talk about. There's lots of things. We can get real weird with it because ain't nothing happening for a whole long time. Again, hit me up on Twitter, at Dieter, D-I-E-T-E-R. What do you want us to talk about? What kind of queries should we answer? Because otherwise, we're just going to get weird with it on our own. And that's no fun. We want to bring everybody in on the big pile of weird. If you liked what you heard, and heck, you made it this far, so I imagine you did, it'd be great if you could re-hit that subscription button. Unsubscribe and resubscribe. It does wonders. Because we were really moving up the charts. I'm not going to lie to you. Things were happening, and then Medina left. And left me just as a shell of a man. If you could unsubscribe and resubscribe, I'd greatly appreciate it. Move up them charts. Rate and review. And listen, you can review as you wish. You can say all the mean stuff you want. Just make sure them 5 stars on them. Lay 5 stars down on it, and then say I stink. It's all fair. I just, you know, as Bomani Jones says, if you don't leave 5 stars, I'm inclined to think you're a hater. And if you're a hater, how the heck have you made it this far? And listen, keep posted. It's not going to be a year before we talk again. I imagine we will do this again next week. That is the plan. So long as next week actually happens. In the meantime, stay safe, stay diligent, and stay hating on the Houston Rockets, who continue to miss 3-pointers in the NBA bubble. I'm sorry, I just had to do it. Old habits die hard. We'll talk soon.